In our study here and our consideration about headship and the subject of headship, we've taken a look at that it does exist. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll go ahead with our theme verse for this. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." There is this issue of headship in the Scripture. We need to understand about that. It's part of our submission and sanctification to the Lord. It's not an issue of hierarchy, but it's an issue of order, as we've talked about. The Lord there in Matthew chapter 20, we looked at last time, said to his disciples that it'll not be the way it is amongst the Gentiles, amongst you. There's not going to be any big I's or little U's. It's not an issue of hierarchy, but it is an issue of order. We're in this order, we're to submit to the Lord. If there are those on this earth that we're to submit to, in doing so, to them, we are to submit to the Lord in that also. These things run parallel. And to help us understand about this thing of order, and that the order that the Lord has given, that's the best place for blessing. That's the place, if we want to be in the best place of blessing, is to be in the center of the Lord's will. We understand this issue, this thing, this subject, this doctrine of headship, and about the order that He has made for us, and in many respects that we will get to and take a look at each one of those individually from the Scripture. But we need to, I think, parallel to this, or to take and insert into this, we need to consider about the economy of the Lord, the way the Lord works. What He says is important, what He says the way of reward is, where the place of blessing is, and what the Lord thinks about how He delves out rewards, if you will. Maybe that's a way to consider about it. Last time we took a look about obedience and being great in the kingdom, and the one that'll be the servant is the one that'll be greatest in the kingdom. Even so much so, as great of a man as John the Baptist was, one can be greater than he. And, you know, we think about that. So if the Lord said that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist, well, who can top him? Well, see, it's our thinking and the way that God operates. Be willing to serve. Be willing to serve and submit to the Lord and the place that He's made for us, made for you, made for me, then we can have a great and wonderful blessing. The way the Lord meets things out is just wonderful indeed. Let's take a look here in looking and considering about the Lord's economy, okay, the way the Lord estimates things. Let's take a look at this afternoon the Lord's economy in giving, okay? In giving, okay? This may go a direction that you may not even expect. This one you'll expect, but the thing that the Lord blessed me with here, it was just really, really great. We'll share that with you. But let's start here, Luke chapter 21. Take a look at this. Luke chapter 21, the Lord's economy in giving. If we understand about the Lord's economy and how it is that the Lord meets out blessing, meets out reward, His expectation of us in that, it'll make us comfortable with the place that God has made for us, whatever it may be. And to understand that, well, you know, as an example, well, Brother Jim will just receive a greater reward because he's a preacher and a pastor. He's out there, you know, every Sunday. He's before the crowd and he's tries to come up with messages to feed us with and all that. And he'll just receive a greater blessing and a greater reward because of that. Well, that may not be so. Okay, and that's the Lord's economy is different than what you and I would expect. You know what I'm to do? What the Lord's called me to do? You know what you're to do? What the Lord's called you to do? That's different than what we think about, okay, that naturally, in the way of this world. Look at here and consider about the Lord's economy in giving. In Luke chapter 21, verse number 1, "And he looked up," that is Jesus, "and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury," there at the temple. "And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites." think it was Brother Doug, he mentioned about this in his Sunday school lesson here last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. He said, verse 3, "Of a truth I say unto you," this is Jesus speaking, and he says, this is the truth, "that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." Whatever the whole take was in the trumpet, right, that collecting of vessel. And we know from other accounts in the Gospels that there were those that came by and they went plink, 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 everything out of the bag. They made sure every single coin hit by itself. Rattle, 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 plink, plink. Wouldn't drop it in the middle, but hit it on the edge. Bang, 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 ring, 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 ring. I mean, they made a show of what they gave. You know what the Lord said? She, by putting in very little money, gave more than all of them put together. As the brother mentioned, we're still reading about her today. "This poor widow hath cast in more than they all." Not individually, but all of them put together. All of them put together. She cast in more. Well, how is it that two mites could make a difference in the economy and the finances of the temple? Nothing. No great change out of two mites. But you know what? In the eyes of the Lord, she had a reward, didn't she? Listen to what the Lord said. This is how God looks at it. "For all these have of their abundance cast unto the offerings of God." They've got plenty, and so they put in plenty. But the thing is they got plenty. They've been blessed with plenty. That's the Lord's blessing upon them. And the thing is that with having so very, very much, the impact on your life, you're going to have to give a whole lot for there to be a change in your life due to your giving, right? Yeah. But listen to what it said about this lady. "But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." She gave and it cost her. It might have cost her a meal that day. It might have cost her a meal for a couple days. It might have cost her something just as a normal staple. It might have cost her that for some time. And the Lord looks on at that. How did he know that? Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows her situation at home. He knows what she's got, what she doesn't have. He knows how many hairs are on her head. He knows how much she's got in the cupboard. He knows how hungry she is. He knows everything about her. And he, you know what? He knew her heart too. He knew, it seems, in the context that we have and the Lord's commendation of her and then explaining this thing to us, he knew that she did it willingly. God loveth a cheerful giver, amen? But he'll also go ahead and take it from a grudge, right? You've heard that. We need to give of what the Lord's given us. But I tell you what, we need to give freely, knowing that it's a blessing of the Lord to be able to do so. Because what do we have that we haven't been given? It's all been given to us. It's all the Lord's. Lord gets 10 and the rest of it's mine. 90's mine, right? No, it's all belongs to the Lord. Don't use any of it to sin against him, and make sure that we use it in a way that we be right and pleasing and honorable to him. And so here, I think this is a great summary here about the giving that we give. We have a responsibility, and I believe it's certainly appropriate for us to tithe, give a tenth of what the Lord increases us. Whatever we are increased, we should give a tenth. the Lord gives us life and blessing and benefit above and beyond anything that we ever deserve. How can you pay for your air? Would you ever stand a chance? No way, no how. How can you pay for your health? No way. And to give the Lord a tenth back for his work, it's just, why is that even an issue? But then we should be willing to give above and beyond that too, shouldn't we? Yeah. How much? I'm not going to say. You take that up with the Lord. I remember a day when I would write out my check for my tithe to the penny. Isn't that sick? But I just didn't get it. But praise the Lord, he showed me. But I wrote it. I wrote that sucker out to the penny. And one day he said, "You knucklehead, at least round it up to the next dollar." Oh, me. But the Lord brings us along, doesn't he? And so the thing is, we should give a tenth and we should give an offering. But you know what? The Lord recognizes and it really acknowledges it. And I think there's blessing and benefit in it when we give till it hurts. As one brother said years ago, give till it hurts and then give a little bit till it doesn't hurt. Give more until it doesn't hurt. Can you outgive the Lord? No, sure can't. Sure can't. The Lord's been good to us as a church with this last year and everything, and those that have gone on and moved on, the Lord has blessed and everything has been maintained. If you, and I don't know, because Brother Mark doesn't tell me, and he shouldn't tell me, and he doesn't tell me anything about the finances of those that give to the church. That's the way that should be. But for any of you that are giving sacrificially, may the Lord help and bless you for it. Amen. May the Lord help you and bless you for it. Right. If you are. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to do it with a good attitude. So that's what we need to do. So we continue on in this thought of the economy of the Lord in giving. Take a look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The apostle's dealing with this church in regards to seemingly a commitment that they had made, help that they had extended from there at Corinth, down in Achaia, there in Greece, in that region of Achaia, southern Greece. And he's dealing with them, and we're not so much going to take a look at what he's dealing with them about, but we're going to take a look at what he said, okay? A quote here that he made. The economy of the Lord in giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7, the scripture says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything," the church there at Corinth, members in particular added to her, "as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also," the grace of giving, I believe. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." Now chew on that one for a while. You're king of everything. I'm talking the universe and everything else, whatever there is. I'm not talking about extraterrestrials and stuff like that. I'm just talking about the world that we don't see. And you're going to lay that down and become like your creation for the sake of your creation that hates you? That's what the Lord's done for us. Amen. He's rich. I mean, richer than you and I could even imagine. And he became poor. He wasn't born into a king's house. He was born in the house of a man that was of the lineage of David, that the political world of that day had just pushed off to the ditch. Joseph should not have been living in Nazareth. But he was. Because others had taken over the operation and the ruling of the kingdom. Now, I know the Lord worked in that, and a lot of that is due to his judgment, but it was the case. Even Joseph, the Lord's stepfather, was of the lineage of David. Mary was of the lineage of David. She shouldn't have been living in Nazareth. Because, see, the kingly line takes us to Jesus, does it not? It takes us to Jesus in both of their lineages. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And are we rich? We're rich indeed. Rich indeed. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. They see, if I understand it, what he's saying and getting at, they had purposed to help the churches in Macedonia, the churches north of them, in Philippi, in that Macedonian region, and maybe even beyond. They had purposed to do it, but they maybe got hung up in getting it done. They had committed to doing it, but hadn't really done it. Hadn't got it accomplished. Didn't get the goods there. Didn't get the money there. And he says, go ahead, what you've purposed to do, the purposing to do it, that's blessed of the Lord, but go ahead and fill it. Go ahead and finish it. Go ahead and accomplish it. And you know what? In verse number 12, he says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You and I can't do any more than we've been given that we can do. But what we have been given, may the Lord help us that we would pursue it and do it to that end. You got a talent? Use it for the Lord. You got wealth? Use it for the Lord. You got ability? Use it for the Lord. Because that's what we're accountable for. We're accountable for what he has provided us and given us. And I think also related to that, we're accountable for the privilege that we've been given. If you and I have been given the privilege to learn and have not, we're accountable. If we've been given the ability to learn and have not, we're accountable. Verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, talking about their financial help of them, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Referring to when the Lord provided manna for the children of Israel. He says, you've been blessed and they have a need. Go ahead and fill the need. It'll be good for you. It'll be right for you. Do it. Do it. There'll be blessing in it. The Lord was rich and became poor for our sakes, right? Look in Acts chapter 20. The Lord's economy in giving. Acts chapter 20. Here the Apostle Paul is there speaking to the elders from Ephesus at Miletus. We just want to look at one thing that he says here in verse number 35. He warns them. He tells them things to come. He tells about his faithfulness and not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of payment or filthy lucre. But in verse number 35, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. And you know what? There's a bunch of ways to be weak. Financially, we can just not have it. We can be weak financially. We can be weak in muscle and just feebleness, can't get around. We can be weak in sickness and just being ill. We can be weak in understanding, can't we? We can be weak from the standpoint of ignorance. We can be weak from the standpoint of knowing what the Word of God says and just not be willing to commit to it and receive it. We can be weak in that we think that the draw and the way of the world is what we've got to do because we won't fit in or we won't be accepted or we won't be provided for. And we just can't stand in what the truth that God has given us and stand against the world. We can be weak in that way too. There's a lot of ways to be weak. We can be weak from the standpoint of being taught by our parents. We're at a time, there's a handful of generations now that the parents didn't know anything, and therefore they didn't teach the children anything, and the children didn't teach the grandchildren anything. And we just got souls that are just wandering. I mean, they're aimless, just wandering about. All of us know folks that are that way. There's just no purpose to life. They're just there, just wandering souls. Haven't been taught how to have a home. Haven't been taught how to have a family. Haven't been taught how to raise the children. Haven't been taught. Because those that were there to teach them, they didn't know themselves. Because they didn't have anybody to teach them. There's a lot of ways to be weak, isn't there? How so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's a quote straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. And I'll be honest with you, I like receiving. I mean, who doesn't, right? Yeah, you're grinning and smiling, but you like getting a gift and a present too, don't you? Sure, we're just naturally that way. But the Lord says it's better to give than to receive. Boy, that's upside down for our natural thinking, isn't it? It is. Right? Amen. I'll amen it, right? It's the truth. Because the Lord said it. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, the flesh likes it better to receive. But there's blessing in giving. Given a what? Well, name everything in your life. And namely, given of yourself. Is it a little inconvenient to get the services? As an example, we'll give you of yourself and just go ahead and do it. I know it's easy for me to say, I live close. But I used to live 15 miles from church. Some of you live farther than that. You have to give of yourself to come. You've got a purpose to do it. The different things that the church has, the ministries that we have, the meetings that we have, the different works that we do and hopefully we'll do in the future. It'll take us to be able to do them. And the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive. May the Lord help us that we be willing to give of ourselves in this new year. And I praise the Lord for those of the membership of the church that have. May the Lord help us that we would continue on in that. Thinking here of what the Lord has said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Thinking about the economy of the Lord and giving. Look here in Hebrews chapter 12. I was getting ahead of myself this morning in this morning's message and kind of crossed over to this message in reference to this passage. But here we'll read it. The Lord Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord's economy in giving. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, steady, consistent, not up real big and then low real big, but steady, pace yourself, be steady, commit to it and stick with it, the service of the Lord and the following of the Lord, looking unto Jesus. Here's where you keep your eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him in delivering us was greater than the shame that he had to go through. He despised the shame that he had to go through and endure. But he did it for our sakes. He did it for us. He did it so he could give us something. Amen? Did he not go to the cross? Did he not endure the cross and the shame for our sakes, so he could give us something? Had he not endured it, he couldn't give us anything, could he? Of what we really, really needed in the eternal sense, he couldn't have done it, could he? But it says here that he endured for the joy that was set before him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote how it would be. And this is the way that he wrote it, that he would have to go to the cross. He authored it. He penned it, if you will. And by his own majesty, his own righteous knowledge and greatness and magnificence, the way that he penned the accomplishing of our salvation was for him to go to the cross. He wrote it that way. And he went ahead and finished it too. And the joy that was set before him of delivering us, pleasing the Father, he endured that cross. He despised the shame of it. But as we said this morning, he's sitting down on the right hand of the throne of God, isn't he? Because he finished it. It's done. That's what that signifies. He's gone to the Father, and we don't see him anymore with these eyes. Take a look over here in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse number 28, speaking of the sheep fold and the sheep, he says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What's it say? I give unto them eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ that has given us eternal life said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord says that it was more blessed for him to give us eternal life than for us to receive it. Don't you like being on the receiving end of eternal life? Amen. I like it. I like it a whole lot, don't you? Amen. I mean, What would we do if the Lord hadn't given us eternal life?
Amen.
And he said it was more blessed for him to give it to us than for us to receive it.
Amen.
If that isn't love, I don't know what is. The economy of the Lord in giving. May the Lord help us to take the place that He's made for us, to know that in His church we've been fitly joined together, and that for us to find that place and be about the business and the work that the Lord has for us in that place in the church, to give of ourselves to that, and the service of the Lord and the witness of the Lord, to give of ourselves, to give of our lives, to give of that that the Lord gives us, and know that the economy of the Lord is different than the way we estimate it naturally, because the example is it was more blessed for the Lord to give us eternal life than for us to receive it. We don't know how it is. We can't. It's hard for us to even imagine about giving it. We can't even go there. But we sure know how it is to receive it, don't we?
Amen.
Oh, what love that the Savior has for us. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. Come to Him in repentance and faith.